Your brace lost again. I hadn't talked about the brace. We'll do this later. I've got the Argentina and the Messi stuff. We talked about that. Unbelievable goals there. We've talked about soccer in this country. And this last segment, did a little bit of Clemson LSU. I want to get one more quick thing with you. We've got one open phone line in this segment, and then we'll do Dr. Martin coming up at 7:25, and then an open phone line segment after that. Yesterday, Ashby was talking about the quarterbacks. And I made this statement that and push back or strengthen this argument for me, that a lot of Vecina – let me back all the way up. I don't think Christopher Vecina is an arm talent. I don't think he has a very strong arm, and I don't think he has a very accurate arm. I think he reads defenses better. I think he processes quicker than what Cade did. But when it comes out of his hand, it just doesn't look – it's not going to press anybody. Doesn't have to, by the way, but it's not going to press anybody. I don't think there's arm talent there. On the positive side of it, two things. Number one is I do think he's a natural leader. I said on yesterday's show that Cade felt like forced leadership. Cade felt like it was plastic and unauthentic. And said the right things, be the pretty boy and play with your hair, but just be the plastic guy. I was creating a test tube, and I'm going to be the quarterback, and I'm going to say the things the quarterback says, but it's just not a natural, magnetic personality that everybody wants to follow and be around. Well, I do think Vecina has some of that leadership skills. I've been told that. But the second part of it is I do think that the decision-making will be an improvement, and that the moments of running out of bounds on first and 10 and you're outside the pocket instead of throwing away and being second and 10, running out of bounds 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage being second 16. Or no timeouts at the end of a half against North Carolina trying to run it again rather than throwing the ball. Or at the end of quarters, at the end of halves, no idea about time management or down in distance and just no clue, no natural instinct at all. You know, fourth down and 20 and throwing an underneath pass of 10 yards. The stuff that, like, there's just no – just brain dead, just no instincts whatsoever stuff. I think those peeing on the carpet moments by the Labrador's going away. Or at least we will be limited.
Yeah.
Pushback or agree, strengthen. On either of those points.
This is random. Hang with me.
All right.
I watched a documentary a while ago about the Manning family. Okay?
Yes.
And I remember, I think Archie talking about Eli and saying ever since he was a little tiny kid, he just had a horde of people following him around, wanting to be just like him, wanting to be his friend, wanting to do whatever he did. I've known Christopher Vecina forever. Went to the same school. He was that guy.
Good guy.
He was the guy that people always wanted to follow. CV, what are we doing? What are we playing? Do you want to be quarterback? Do you want to be, you know, do you want to play basketball? Come do this with us. He has that magnetic thing.
Good.
That is
important.
Important and genuine and just how he is, which I think you'll take.
Right.
If you're Clemson. I believe that the arm strength is probably not as much of an issue as the accuracy.
Right. I'd agree with that.
And he can make up for that
by getting rid of it earlier and more air and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. With that said, here's about two questions I just don't know yet because he hadn't been putting this yet. When I think of the attributes of a quarterback, 3 through 15 would be arm strength, accuracy, decision-making, processing, feet, ability to make plays outside the pocket. 3 through 15 are these things that are tangibles that we watch happen on the field. But that's 3 through 15. Numbers 1 and 2 are mental toughness and physical toughness. Can you mentally, is the moment going to be too big for you, Christian Pulisic, or are you going to rise up, Michael Phelps? Is the moment ever too big for you? For Trevor Lawrence, the moment was never too big. For Deshaun Watson, the moment was never too big. Right? The physical toughness playing on one ACL, the physical toughness of a Taj Boyd sticking his nose up in there on a fourth and one of just, I'm getting this first down. That's what I don't know about Vecina yet. Don't know. Well, that's what we'll find out in Baton Rouge. The mental, is the moment going to be too big for him? And can he physically take a beating? Because you're going to a quarterback. And do you get up and do that? Don't know yet.
No, but you do know that he stayed at Clemson.
True. It's a very good point.
Former high recruited guy. Everybody wanted him out of high school. Very stuck around point. For 3 years behind Cade.
Now, let me say this. And to get your thoughts on this. On yesterday's show in the third hour. Folks didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. I can recap it for you now. Who's the quarterback on October the 17th against Charleston Southern after an open date? Clemson has at LSU, Georgia Southern, North Carolina, at Cal, and Miami, then an open date. I don't think Tate Reynolds will start any of those five games, no matter how bad it goes. Who's the quarterback at Clemson depends on less on Christopher Vecina and more upon everybody else around him because of this. Let's say he plays an average game in those five games.
If he plays average, everybody else around him is good enough. They should be in a great spot.
Okay.
He just needs to be average.
All right. But this. Now let me throw this off the table first of all. If he's 38 of 45 for 412 yards and four touchdowns and one pick, then everything else is off the table. I don't care what the record is. You're not going to replace it.
No.
All right. But if he's 17 of 28 for 282 yards and two touchdowns and one pick, if they're 3-2, if they beat Georgia Southern and beat North Carolina and beat Cal and only lose a top 10 LSU and top 10 Miami, after the open date, I can see you got decisions to make. And all, but if you're 2-3, if you lose to Cal or lose to North Carolina, then what's the point? Let's try to finish the season with a freshman that can start to handle a little bit, and let's build for 27. Your season's over at 2-3. Let's build for 27, and let's go Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech at Florida State, Syracuse, Georgia Tech at Duke, South Carolina, and let's go 5-1 down the stretch. And Tate Reynolds, man, and we're going 27. We found our guy. We're hot at the end. That it has little to do with what Vecina does. It has so much to do on if you're 3-2 or 2-3 or 4-1 or 1-4. At 1-4, the door's much more wide open.
Yes.
At 4-1, the door's much more closed. At 2-3 or 3-2, you see, my point there is, like, it depends on the whole overall feeling. You got to get blown out of LSU and you get blown out at home against Miami, and you got to change something, man, the Steve Tannehill effect. You got to change something, and that might not be fair to Christopher Vecina, might not be fair to Tate Reynolds, but you got to give them something to make sure that the last 2 months of the season and 2027 feel different. Thoughts on that?
It depends on your losses and what your losses look like.
Right.
You go down to LSU and it's within 10.
Right.
Put up a good showing. It was just a little too much. Same thing with Miami. CV's your starting quarterback going forward, kind of no matter how he's been, I think.
Yep.
Now, if you're 2-3, I don't know that you immediately go out and name Tate Reynolds, oh, he's going to be the guy the rest of the year. I think you start working him in.
But you do see that the open date and then Charleston Southern, like, there, that's an opportunity to have a reset.
Yes, but I just don't think coming out of an open date, it's like, all right, freshman quarterback, here we go. Like, I just don't see you doing that. I see you putting CV in there, having a feel-good game. You put Tate into the second half. If he blows it out of the water, then great.
But that's what you did with Deshaun and Trevor.
Yes, I don't think that's what you have on your roster. Tate Reynolds is not Deshaun and Trevor. That's not what you have.
I agree. I totally agree with all that. A great point here. Let me get this. This text here made a terrific point. Oh man! I got a great point from someone said, "Hey, let's give the guy a chance first."
I agree.
All right, here's the text. This is from 7564. Let's give a scene a chance to play a decent amount before we decide that the guy's not any good. I don't understand the judge, jury, and sentence approach to his ability before the season begins.
Agree.
Now, I agree with that. It's JQ, by the way. I agree with what JQ says. I texted back to JQ. I hope that you are right. The physical talent is concerning, though. The arm talent is concerning. It doesn't look good coming out of his hand. I hope you're right, and I hope the people that go to practice it say, you don't want to see Vecina play. I hope those people are wrong. Because here's one thing. It is a positive that he has stayed around for 3 years. It is a negative that Cade Klubnik can go out there and poop the bed, and he still didn't put him in the game.
They were also paying Cade Klubnik a gazillion dollars, and there's money invested into that.
I get that, but there's also losing football games and hand it to the wrong guy that you just can't do those kind of things. I think there's a major reason that he was not putting those games. You might be right about the money. I'm not saying you're not. But I think the major reason is because Vecina had every opportunity in the world to show who he was for 3 years, and it just looks different coming out of his hand. It just does. Now, you can point out the SMU game if you want. SMU gave up that kind of yards to everybody. And there are times the SMU game where it didn't look good then either.
So, first half was not good.
No.
But you saw him adjust and get better as it went on.
And look, there's something to be said, too, about when you're the starter, you prepare as a starter, and you do get better, your timing with the wide receivers. He's going to be throwing the better wide receivers, hopefully behind a little better offensive line, a little more running game. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that he comes in and has a very, very solid season. As a matter of fact, not like the Alabama quarterback last year that I gave no chance at all to.
Ty Simpson?
Ty Simpson I gave Ty Simpson zero shot, and he proved me wrong. I think that Vecina can prove me and a lot of people wrong just by game management. Just don't mess it up. Distribute the ball. Get rid of it on time. You don't have to be John Elway, right? Get rid of it on time. Make the right reads. Step up in the pocket. Don't take the bad play. And I think that you can matriculate your way into a decent kind of year. And I think you can win 8 games or 9 games. And so in that way, it does depend on him. Another way is, if Reynolds is as good as some people think he is, and again, he's not Trevor, he's not Deshaun, but he's a physical beast, and there's some packages in there. And if he comes in there, again, I don't know. I know less about Reynolds than I do Vecina. But what if this kid's got a little something to him? Like, what if this kid's that mental? We know the physical toughness. What if the mental toughness? You know what? Like the guys, you know. But I'll tell you this. He's not as good as Vecina is right now. The spring game showed that in the little things. Physically, he's more talented, but he's not a good quarterback right now.
So. Yes. He probably has more upside. Just like Slapton Tiger gets in with a good point, says, think the ceiling was higher with Cade. However, the floor is higher with CV.
Totally agree with that.
Which I think is a really good point. I think you were looking at Cade last season and waiting for him to reach the heights all season that he did in his junior year because you saw it. You had the physical evidence of it. You don't have the physical evidence of that yet with Vezina. However, I don't think that he needs to be all world for you to have a good season with the Chad Morris offense, with the players around him, with running the ball like you're supposed to this year.
I'd agree with that.
You don't have to be outstanding.
Manage it.
Just manage the game.
On the floor and ceiling stuff. And the only floor lower than Cade Klubnik was DJ. That's it. And it's been 5 years, man. It's been 5 years of just some boneheaded looking bad floors. Raise the floor.
Look, all he has to do is go out there and manage the game and have a level head. And I don't believe that after watching Tate Reynolds in the spring game, he is going to be able to be as level-headed as Vezina can be right now. Now, talk to me in October. Talk to me in November when he's had chances. Maybe it's a different story.
Agreed. Totally agree with all that. That's an interesting conversation. We ran over. If you're on hold, I promise at 7:45 we'll get some phone calls. Dr. Martin comes up next. We'll take a short break, get our Arthrex Sports Medicine segment right after this.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
for every pitch from March till October.
We are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar.
The Upstate Sports Authority. 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
Tried to be the hero of the house yesterday. My wife's had long days and a lot of stuff going on, and said I got dinner tonight, and I did the Ingles, the tater tots, and the smash burgers. So I got the great buns that they make right there at Ingles. Man, that bakery department's awesome. I got the boar's head cheese from Ingles. That's something that I didn't pay enough attention to earlier in life. Boar's head cheeses. We talk about boar's head meats all the time. The boar's head cheeses at Ingles. It's got less. It's less processed, and it's real cheese. So do that. And, man, I felt like a hero last night. Had me a little natural bluebell vanilla bean ice cream last night, all from Ingles. And so, yeah, it's a good night. Good night around the house. I'll tell you this, too. At Ingles, bottom line is that it's easy, it's fast, it's convenient, the prices are better, and it just feels good to support this local company. Low prices, love the savings. Check out the curbside pickup. Get your gas done right before you go on vacation. Do the Starbucks thing. I made my wife very happy yesterday with some Starbucks. So try to be a good husband. Thanks to good friends at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Attention. If you or a loved one has been exposed.
Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com do an incredible job. You need three estimates if you're going to remodel a house, if you're going to refinance a house, if you're going to buy a house. Get some estimates out there. Let West Company be one of those. When I dealt with these folks, it just seemed easy. It seemed simple. They talked to me, I probably told Mark, talked to me like I'm a third grader when it comes to mortgage information and terms and all this kind of stuff. They talked to me like I'm third grade. No, they made it, they explained it. It was simple. I felt like I was making the right decision. They equipped me to make the right decisions. It's a big decision for you. And so I needed their expertise, and they did it. It's Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. To our guest line, this segment brought to you by good friends over at Arthrex, and our guest, Dr. Steve Martin, Blue Ridge Orthopedics, Prisma Health, and head surgeon for Clemson University Athletics, orthopedic surgeon. Good morning, Dr. Martin, and my friend. I'm still hoping, because unless I've done something I'm unaware of, my friend, Dr. Martin. Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
You're still in good standing, Mickey. Absolutely. Ooh. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, too. Now, you got to tell you, Doc, I wasn't doing great a few days ago when I fought this norovirus off. 4 days of eating toast and not being able to keep it down. But you can't keep a good man down, Doc. I'm back, and I am excited, pal. I'm excited about that. Hey, I wanted to ask you, starting off, a relative thing to what we're seeing right now. Is heat exhaustion, heat strokes, heat-related issues, prevention of it, signs of it, who's susceptible. And then even because I know that I tried to do some stuff on Sunday and I was coming off this virus, and I know that they were probably magnified. My other health issues were magnified by the heat. So if we can, let's talk about heat and get your thoughts about what we need to be aware of in this July like we do every July.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing, and you know, don't quote me on these statistics because I'm not quoting from a source here, but we have more heat-related deaths across this country and around the world, if you see what's happening in Europe and everything, then, you know, you can add up all the snake bites and shark bites and alligator bites and all these things that hit the news, and heat-related injury and death is a much greater statistical thing. And so you just really have to use some common sense. We're not acclimated to the heat anymore because we live in controlled environments. And, you know, I've talked about this before, you know, our house, our car, our office, wherever that is, so we're kind of pampered from a body standpoint, and our body's adaptive responses to heat. And so it is understanding your body, staying, you know, hydrated, controlling your time out in the that part of the day where it's the greatest heat. You dissipate heat in a lot of different ways, but sweating is probably the most efficient. But when the humidity level gets too high, that sweat's not able to dissipate that heat. So, you know, we have what's called a heat index. That's the combination of the temperature and the humidity. And as that heat index goes up, that can be critical as well. And so I think you have to be very, very smart. If you're coming off of an illness, as an example, your electrolytes, your sodium and potassium and all these other electrolytes that we have in the body, you know, may have been altered during your period of norovirus. And so I think that that has a period until you restore that where you're even increased susceptible. When we talk about sports, you know, we sit here and, you know, in the beginning of August, we start football, and then we put these guys in shoulder pads and jerseys, and that outer layer keeps us from being able to dissipate the heat as well. And so we have to be very conscious of that and be prepared for some of these heat illnesses, because when you go from, you know, this heat exhaustion to heat stroke, and the big difference there, if you see somebody, is when they hit heat stroke, they're not sweating anymore. And they have start to have altered mental status, and that is super dangerous. You've got to get them cooled down, you know, very, very quickly, and controlled cooling at that point.
We've heard this talked about many times when teams are going, say a northern team comes south or whatever, the humidity. You're talking about days in advance you start this hydration process. Why is that important? How long in advance would you start that? And what's that process look like to begin to prepare for abnormal type heat?
You know, the science is still, I'm going to say, not, you know, it's basically unproven, but to be fully hydrated, that process really needs to start about three days before. But what I'm more interested in is acclimation of the body to the heat. And if you're in a northern environment and you know you're going to be going into this heat, there are ways that you can do that with, you know, sauna and other heat methods to get the body. And what you're doing is, just like anything else, you're cranking the body's ability to sweat. You're cranking the body's ability to retain that salt, that sodium, and the body is able to adapt to that. That's why you see people that can live in desert environments, and they do okay, because their body is completely adapted to that from a you know, physiological standpoint. So I think you can, the teams that are doing that, I think, just like you saw England having to go down and play at high altitude, you know, there's some things you can train at high altitude, and they did some other medical things to help adapt to that high altitude.
That's one of my questions. I'll go ahead and get that now before I get back to some heat stuff. What does altitude do? What could you do in advance of that? And obviously England handled it. Boy, that was impressive to go in that environment, in that altitude, and do that. Now, they didn't have the humidity because of the rain and the temperatures weren't you know, too bad. But talk about altitude and how you can prepare for that.
You know, the most important thing is train at altitude, and that's what a lot of our athletes do. They go out to, you know, Colorado and other areas where the, you know, Denver's at 5,000 feet above sea level, and so they'll train in these environments. And what that does is it increases, you know, your red blood cells and your hemoglobin in your blood, so that you're able to carry the oxygen better, because the oxygen, as you get to certain levels, starts to drop. Now, I haven't talked to anybody from the, you know, England team, but they did a couple of medical things. There's some medications. They were doing some, you know, beet root juice, and there was even talk that they were using Viagra, and I'm not going to go into all the physiology of that, but it was able to have the body adapt a little better. They sure did look good all the way to the end of the game, just as good as Mexico from their energy and running standpoint. And so whatever they did, I think it needs to be studied, because they really did adapt to that environment.
Yeah, we probably don't need to increase Viagra sales, but now if we're talking sports teams in altitude, maybe a whole other thing there for sure. Hey, Texture 2267 says, talk about cramping. What happens during cramping, preventing cramping, overcoming cramping, why it's happening? Obviously, this is not just a heat thing, but certainly is magnified in the heat.
Well, I will tell you that from a medical standpoint, we still don't completely understand. You know, everybody has we talk about hydration and salt intake and heavy salt. You know, there's some people that have a higher salt content in their sweat and magnesium and all these other electrolytes and what you do to prevent it. I will tell you that I had my youngest son, you know, I've talked about, that played soccer at Clemson back in the day. He would cramp all the time, and we studied it to a maximum event, and there was still kind of an unsolved reason. But basically, when that muscle starts to fatigue, and that's why you see it later in the games, when that muscle starts to fatigue, it will not be able to function normally, and it overworks. And so those muscle fibers pull together, and that creates a cramp. And then the only way to break that cramp is, you know, to stretch it long again and break that spasm, so to speak, in that muscle. And it's very painful. You can get to a point where you have it not just in one muscle group, but you can have it in multiple muscle groups, and even total body cramps, which, you know, we've had. And, you know, we do, you know, hydrate them. We do start IVs. There's all kinds of things. You'll see the pickle juice, and there's nothing magical about pickle juice other than it has a very high salt content in it. And it's also something about the pH of the acetic acid. So the science is such that, number one, yes, stay hydrated. The equation is not as simple as that. There's something that from our nerve muscle connection and over fatigue that causes the hyperexcitability and cramping. From the audience's standpoint, just once again, like we talked about with the heat, hydration is probably the most important.
You brought up body cramping. I've only seen that happen one time. That's amazing to me that when I say body cramp, is it how many muscles are involved in that compared to, I mean, I know what a calf cramp feels like. That's just a strange phenomenon to me.
Yeah, we've been in the middle of restaurants after soccer games, and we're on the floor. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but you know, or getting in a car and you can't get in or out because everything's going. But basically, you've got, you know, your hamstring, your quad, your calf, your abdominals. Once your abdominals cramp, it's pretty painful. And we're in the football locker room, you know, basically carrying them around to get their IV started, you know, to get them to break the cramping. So it's a tough situation when that happens.
All right. There are things that you're going to, like we're seeing now with hydration breaks. Now, some of it is crazy in that we're inside indoors of 70 degrees and controlled climates and all that, but that's a uniformity across it. What do you think of the hydration breaks? Obviously, humidity in America and in Mexico and in parts of Canada, I guess, can be a deal there. But will we start to see maybe more of that in certain temperatures? I know high school, you know, we might do some more. We've done that in the past. Maybe some might see more of that in more sports.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. I think, you know, obviously there was a lot of controversy with this with the current World Cup and the, you know, just because nobody wants change. And I think the you know, from a money standpoint, gives opportunity for some commercials and some other things, which soccer generally doesn't have. But the beauty of soccer is the flow of the game and the fact that the players have to adapt. You know, I don't want to bring up the subject of the U.S. game, but we were you know, and everybody has their own opinion of that. But we came out, we were kind of overcoached at the beginning, and our formation didn't match with their formation. And, you know, we were able to make a little adaptation at the first hydration break when we moved Tyler Adams back, but that wasn't enough. And so, you know, that formation change at a hydration break is made by the coach or the manager, and I think that changes the way soccer is played because it's basically 45 minutes on and then another 45 minutes on. So I don't think you'll see it be a permanent aspect of the game of soccer. I think it was just kind of a one-time off with the World Cup. So,
all right, Doc, last of those heat questions. This is coming from Shane, who's a mailman. He said, inside my truck, it's 100 degrees, 110 degrees. Ultima electrolyte powder. Best put in water. Thoughts on electrolytes and powders, and how often are dailies, and for those that are in it from an occupation standpoint like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the general rule is if you are training, depends upon the temperature, but if you're training up to an hour, you can generally get by with just water. But if you're going to be training or out in the elements, as in his case, for more than an hour, which he is, then you have to add electrolytes to it because you're losing electrolytes in your sweat. And if you want to say, well, how do I know that? If you look after you've worked out and you've got those little salt rings all around your, you know, armpits and other areas, then that salt that has, you know, the evaporation of the water has taken place, and what's left is those electrolytes on your skin. And if you've got a lot of that, you may be a heavy salt, sweat person, and you need to have more electrolytes. And you can measure that. We do that in the athletes. We'll actually take their sweat and we'll measure the amount of sodium. And then when we measure their weight before and after, practice as an example, you know how much, you know, weight they lost. Well, that's their sweat and evaporation loss. And then you can do an equation, how much they need to hydrate. And we have if some of the athletes are heavy cramping, we have an exact equation. We've got to get this amount in the first half, this amount in at halftime, you know, that kind of thing to try to prevent the cramping. And so it can be made into a science. But in his standpoint, yes, he probably needs some extra electrolytes. The problem with some of the sports drinks is you get a lot of glucose with them. And that's because they're wanting to give you energy. But if you're just doing it to hydrate, you're getting a lot of just sugar, and that's not good for you. So he needs to look at, in that electrolyte powder, how much sugar you're getting, or is it just electrolytes, and start to read the labels and look at it.
That's why we have you on, Dr. Steve Martin, the best Blue Ridge Orthopedics, Prisma Health, Clemson University's athletics orthopedic surgeon and friend. I'll tell you, hydrate, Doc. Hydrate. Stay cool.
There you go.
Take care of yourself. Hey, I always appreciate it. I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks, but talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, take care.
Dr. Steve Martin, the guy's good, man. I tried to stump him. Can't stump him. Short break. We'll come back. One open phone line segment for the rest of the show. Love to hear from you. Much more to this.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage, we're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
That segment brought to you by our great friends over at Arthrex, arthrex.com, the company that comes up with 1,000 new products and procedures every single year that do an incredible job for you there. If you have questions about your body, questions about any orthopedic aspects, everybody, go to orthopedia.com. A lot of you sending questions every single week. You can go to orthopedia.com to find a lot of those answers as well. And then finally, I want to tell you this. I know a lot of people working for them. Ashby, you know some people working for them as well. If you want to talk about a brand new career for an awesome company, careers.arthrex.com.
You're on the phone. All
was that the band would fight, and they'd be fighting with management, and they'd be fighting with each other about ego stuff, but they would come together and harmonize. And he said it felt like, I'm not sure if it was Glenn Fry or Don Henley talked about it, but like it felt like that aspect of harmonizing together was this team building, unifying kind of deal. And you just heard Aerosmith, like if you think about some of the great bands of all time, the Beatles were great harmonizers, obviously. Fleetwood Mac, great harmonizers. The Eagles, great harmonizers. That it brings a lot of individual talents, and it feels more like a team kind of deal. You like it?
Absolutely. As a former choir kid, can confirm.
Yeah.
As a former daughter of a choir teacher,
right,
and a musical dad, can confirm what that ended talent, some fights though, in my house.
My aunt and grandmother could harmonize. Man, that's beautiful to hear. Welcome back. Elkmont Trading Company. Elkmont Trading Company is an awesome company that go in and you get I talked about the Z Supply and the Viore and the LL Bean and the Patagonias and the Birkenstocks and the On Runnings. And man, they've just got everything there for you. And so something for every one of them, man or woman, and old or young, no matter what lifestyle you have, they've got something for everyone. Sunglasses or jewelry or hiking or outdoor type stuff. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to buy gifts. It's a great place to buy a gift certificate. And it's a great place to I'm going to throw something out here that might sound crazy. When I would shop for my nieces, they're totally different. And so I go to one place and get two totally different type gifts. Like, that's awesome. You can't go to a boutique or whatever and get different type of gifts. You can't go to another type store and do this. You go there and you get, like, two different kinds of gifts. It's really cool. Think about that, the variety. It's our great friends over at Elkmont Trading Company, 93123 in Clemson, elkmonttradingcompany.com. Let's get some phone calls. Daryl's been very patient with us, 654-ROAR-PRATT injury phone lines. Good morning, Daryl. Thanks for hanging on, buddy. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Mickey and Ashby. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I want to talk about elite quarterbacks, but you got me off track in a great way talking about the Eagles. That's my all-time favorite group. I love that documentary. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mick. My memory is that they called that the Circle of Fear when the Eagles got together before they went out to perform. And they kind of elaborated on it, some of them. They said, you know, even at our level, we've been doing this forever since we were really, really small. You know, there are some nerves before you go out to perform.
Yep.
But the bottom line is when they're standing there together face to face, and if God gave you the ability to harmonize, when you're not in complete harmony, it drives you mad mentally, and you want to get that synchronized. And I come from a musical family, and, you know, harmony is one of God's incredible gifts to mankind, especially musically. And I thought it's very interesting how they were able to put all of their human idiosyncrasies and their conflicts behind them at the time when it's most important, and they're making sure that they're in total harmony before they go out. And there's no place to hide when you're that close to each other, face to face in a circle. And if anybody is just a little bit off, it not only drives the person that's off crazy, the people around them, and it just gives – it's a beautiful picture of people coming together, trusting each other in spite of each other's faults.
You know what, Darrell?
The ability.
I could not have said that anything close to as elegantly as you said it. And I'm going to hopefully add to your – a great thought there, that's what happens in football. And that's why,
yes.
I know some coaches that don't like the no huddle stuff, because it means like to huddle up and to be that close and look each other in the eyes and do those kind of things. And the other part of it that you mentioned is great, is that if one guy's off, and that's the beauty of football, is that it takes 11. Yes. And you can have, because you get this sometimes on the show, like, man, our offensive line stinks. He goes, no, four of our offensive linemen did a great job. That one offensive lineman blew his pass protection there. So if one guy's off, then it ruins the team aspect of it. But when it's good, it's so beautiful to see or listen to or to watch. You know, it's like, it's just amazing.
And so, amen, couldn't have said it better. So you have to feel safe with your teammate,
yeah,
or your coworker, to attempt to get yourself un-off, to get in harmony. And if you're scared to take that risk, you have to put yourself out there. So people that are great harmonizers, they'll tell you, I'm trying to harmonize all the time. I'm singing in the shower. I'm singing in the bathroom. I take songs that are hard to sing harmony with, or maybe from a musical theory standpoint, and I don't know music theory. My wife does, but I don't. But it could be really difficult to even do harmony on a certain song. But if you feel safe with the people that you're working with,
oh, Darryl,
to be bad,
oh, Darryl,
in order to be good, it's a beautiful thing. And
see,
it just,
now
it
you're
ties
hitting
into Christianity
on
as well.
All right. Oh, yeah. Now you're hitting on something on two different scales. Number one, let me do a simple thought here. Ray Lewis, one of the greatest middle linebackers in NFL history, during that Hard Knocks program, made the statement that training camp, as a middle linebacker, training camp is only about one thing, and that is, can I trust my Sam linebacker to do his job, and can I trust my Will linebacker to do his job? Because if I trust them to do their jobs, then I don't have to do their jobs, and I can only do mine. And in training camp, all we do is build the trust that allows me to just do mine, and I can put it to bed that I know the guy beside me is going to do his job. Really cool.
And Ray was willing to love them when they failed.
Oh, how about that?
To get into where they would be less likely to fail, to get into a mental and emotional mindset that they'll be less likely to fail, because you got to be willing to fail to be great. To learn how to repetitively do well and give yourself grace when you do fail.
All right, so I'm going to go deeper on here because I like this phone call, and I like when you call in. But So I'm listening to this podcast yesterday about Abraham and this idea, man, the guy's cruising. You know, he's 70 years old, and he's cruising life. He's living on a life of a, you know, well, you know, a rich guy, and but nothing there. But sure, he's off this opportunity to take these risks. And yes, and now what's waiting on the other side is amazing. But and mm. and to keep making all these sacrifices. But what's waiting on the other side was his adventure in front of him, and he yes. changed the world, you know. But had he not got yes. an opportunity, but he had not taken any of his risks, and nothing nothing ventured, nothing gained. But boy, what how about what's gained?
Amen. Yeah. This is God. I didn't know we were going to have church, and I do want to get to the quarterback thing. But see, this is God working. This is God working right now. Thank you for indulging me. I'm going to retire. I'm 67 years of age. I've prayed about it for several years. Never got peace about it because I love my job. I love being active. I love interacting. I love what I do. But the clear word that I got from the Lord was, go to the land that I will show you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to work with a competitor. I'm not going to do that. I'm retiring from my profession that I've been doing for 40 years. And God is slowly but surely showing me in bits and pieces in his timing what he's calling me to do, which takes risk. I'm going to quit working for money and put myself out there in ways that God is calling me to go into, to be more invested, I don't know how to word this, and just sharing Christ with others through the gifts that he's given me.
Oh,
and I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that it's time for me to stop working money.
You mentioned you're 67. You're still a young man compared to Abraham, you know? So, hey, you got a whole.
Amen.
You know, who knows? Who knows, right? Yeah. That's great. Congratulations, by the way.
Absolutely.
And I know I can't wait to hear about what you're going to be doing. That's going to be awesome.
Well, thank you. And so back to quarterbacks, I think, you know, you were talking about 3 through 15, you know, tangible things, abilities, all of that. Mm-hmm. Those are great. But I think, and I want to float a theory at UNashby. And by the way, UNashby have incredible synergy, and y'all are so good together. And Ashby is an incredible addition, and I know I don't have to brag on you because you've been doing this forever, but I know we don't take you for granted, Mickey. Every morning you're being Christ-like, and you're sharing so much wisdom with all of us. And Ashby just fits right in, and I told her earlier, the synergy between y'all is so, so good, and she gives unique perspectives, and I really, really appreciate it. And I can't believe she's straight out of college. That's incredible. To me, it feels like she's been doing this for 10 or 15 years. So thanks to both of you.
We got to hang on to her because she won't be here long. Anyway, yes.
Please do. Yes, I would love that. Yeah. So bottom line is, a quarterback, to be a great quarterback at the top level, regardless of how many of those 2 through 15s that you have, at some point, this is my theory, and I want your all's opinion on this, at some point, starting when you were a little kid and carrying all the way through your career, but it typically happens in Little League, you have to have loved contact, the contact aspect of football. And here's why I believe that. Think about a Ben Roethlisberger. He's not a dual threat quarterback for sure. But when he stands tall in that pocket and allows all this chaos to go around him and never has happy feet, but has this ability to just move and do his footwork in just the right nuanced way to buy just enough time to maybe do that rare scramble where he gets 3 yards and gets a first down on 3rd and 3 when the play breaks down, or take that extra step and hold on to it just a little bit longer to complete that pass. If you don't like contact, and most people quit football because they don't like contact, but if you don't love contact, I don't think you can be the best, even at the quarterback position, at the highest levels, because you get happy feet and you can't do the reads, and the greatest of the great just know how to do that.
Well,
Tom Brady knew how to do that. And what was his 40 time?
Yeah, terrible.
What was Tom Brady's 40 time?
But if you, when you start seeing ghosts, that affects you. When you get rid of it too soon, that affects. Now, you can't pat it, but a lot of times those routes, you got to wait that extra, just half a tick, man. Just half a tick for that play to come open. That got to come open.
Yes.
And to physically be able to know, I'm going to take a beating here, but I've got to hang on. I've got to step up in this pocket. I'm not bailing out. I'm stepping up in this pocket.
Right.
And then I'm waiting as long as I can. And if I do that, then I get rid of it. Then that play opens up. Hey, man, I got to top down a hard break, but I wish you all the best. I love the conversation. I appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too, my friend. That guy's awesome. When I saw Daryl from Dolan Springs, I went, this is going to be good.
Let's go, Daryl.
A short break. We'll come back. We've set the table for Dane Young and Andrew Oliphant. Ashby and Mickey, hour number three when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Upset you missed a show today?
No problem.
We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app.
Download it today.
Yesterday was a good day in the garage. We had two fans going in the garage. Drake had a friend over to play. They were in there running all around. We had both the garage doors open up, so it cooled off a little bit in there. And they were you know, putting and chipping and throwing footballs around. And Isla's running around there playing a dollhouse. And she's got a little race car thing over there. And it was awesome. Our garage floor, if I had concrete dust, if I had oil stains, if I had cracks and all that, it'd be much more dangerous. I would not put my kids in that situation. Get your garage floor more functional. It's going to add value to your home. It's going to be much more affordable than you think, but make it more functional. Do it with a high-performance epoxy base. Do it with the most experienced garage floor team out there since 1999, Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158.
We got your summer covered. Summer sports.